This is Amarins.
Hi, everybody. This is Arthur, and welcome to episode 10 of my podcast. This Tuesday edition is just me, no guests. It's basically just like a Friday edition, only on a Tuesday. And so you just have to put up with me, I'm afraid. I've got basically two topics that I wanted to talk about today. One is civil unions, and the other is taxes. Now, don't go hitting the stop button. It's nothing boring or anything like that. It's just that there's some significant differences between the way taxes are done in New Zealand and the way they're done in the U.S. And so I thought it might be sort of interesting to just talk about that for just a few minutes. But first, the civil unions. Now, this all came up, or is coming up this week, I guess, because of a really offhand comment I made in my Friday podcast where I said that Nigel and I are planning our civil union, and we are. But the truth of the matter is we've probably been planning it, in quote marks, for about 2 years, ever since they were getting ready to enact the Civil Union Act. And for a variety of reasons, we just haven't been able to get to it yet. Nigel's younger brother got married, and there have been other family events and so on, and we moved from Pauroa back to Auckland, and all these sorts of things going on, and we just didn't really have the time or what have you to organize a civil union, because Nigel comes from a very large family, and you can't invite just a few people. I mean, if you invite anybody from the family, you've got to invite the entire family, and that's like 30-odd people, just relatives. And that's before you even get to friends. So we can't do it terribly small. But the idea of a civil union is, it's a funny thing, because in some ways, to me, to both of us, I suppose, it's not really that big a deal. It's just, oh yeah, we should do that because it gives us a lot more legal protections and things like that. But in other ways, when I stop to think about it, I think, holy cow, this is a really big deal. Just to clarify, civil unions in New Zealand are open to same-sex and heterosexual couples, and they're basically the legal equivalent of marriage, although marriage itself is reserved for heterosexuals. And that used to sometimes really bother me, to be honest. I felt that it should either be marriage or nothing, and that creating a new category that was not marriage essentially made it a second class or a second tier sort of situation. Well, I've changed my mind about that, because it's the old thing, you know, keep the eyes on the prize. And what is it really about? Is it about having the title marriage, or is it about the legal rights that go with it? And for me, it's all about the rights and privileges that go with marriage, things like next of kin status, an automatic right of inheritance, medical power of attorney, and things like that. The sorts of things where ordinarily couples would have to go see a solicitor, it's a lawyer in New Zealand, and draw up all sorts of paperwork and so on in order to try to get some semblance of protection. And even then, all of that could be challenged in court. Whereas if you get a civil union, you get all those rights and privileges of marriage, essentially, and it can't be challenged in court, at least certainly not no more so than a marriage could be. So those, you know, because those sorts of issues are important, it seems to me that the important thing there is the ability to have them, the ability to be protected, and that's really what it comes down to. However, it's something that had never entered my mind. Because I had always just assumed that it would never be legal to marry a same-sex partner, so I didn't ever think, you know, oh, someday when I get married, I want to do this, that, or the other thing. You know, like, well, I suppose heterosexual women, but possibly heterosexual men as well, they grew up knowing that one day they're going to get married, and maybe they have in their mind the kinds of things they'd like to have happen in their wedding. I mean, certainly there's a whole industry in America devoted to fueling the wedding fantasies of females. But because I never thought it could happen for me, I never had any of those ideas or notions or what have you. And so I frankly don't have a clue how I want it to happen. And, I mean, all other things being equal, Nigel and I would probably just go to the registry office and do it in front of a registrar and be done with it. But we really can't do it because our friends and family really want to see us have the ceremony, because they want to share it with us and they want to be able to celebrate the fact that we legally can be joined in the same way that they can be, apart from the fact, obviously, that it's not called marriage. So for all of those reasons is basically why we're going to do it and why we're going to get serious about planning it sooner or later. But as I said on Friday, we haven't set a date, and I don't exactly know when it's going to be. But I'll certainly keep you posted as it develops. Now, there are plenty of people in the GLBT communities that don't think that marriage or civil unions or what have you are a good idea under the best of circumstances, because although they might see it as mimicking the modes of the oppressor, or they might see it as a failed institution, as sexist, and all these sorts of things. And, I mean, I respect their right to their opinions, but I just don't happen to share them. I think that whether anybody gets a marriage or a civil union or what have you, regardless of gender or sexual orientation, it's a personal decision that has to be made. And I don't have the right to tell somebody they should or shouldn't do it. And by the same token, no one has the right to tell me that I should or shouldn't do it. It's got to do with personal choices, basically. And in my case, as I've said, one of the main criteria is that it does convey a whole bunch of legal rights and protections that just being in what we call a de facto relationship doesn't. A de facto relationship in New Zealand is a bit like a common law marriage in some places, in that you do have some automatic protections. For example, if a couple has been together for 3 years or more and they split up, each partner is automatically entitled to 50% of all the assets, unless they contract out of it at the very beginning and those sorts of things, kind of a bit like a prenuptial agreement. But a civil union and, of course, a marriage goes well beyond that in the protections that it affords. All of which makes it sound very clinical and sterile and all those sorts of things. But the fact of the matter is that if you take the religious mumbo-jumbo out of it, a marriage is at its core a property contract. It's got to do with the merging of the property of two people and how that is to be handled in the event of some sort of separation, whether by death or divorce or what have you. So maybe that does sound all clinical and cold, but that's where the state's interest lies. It lies in the legal aspects of relationships and not in the emotional side, certainly, and also not in the religious side. All of that is stuff for people to work out themselves. Now, one area where civil unions don't convey any particular rights is, oddly enough, taxes, which moves on to my next subject, because we don't have a situation where people file jointly or separately or anything like that, like America does. Everybody's an individual. Now, the way the system is set up, the vast majority of taxpayers, certainly anybody who works for a wage or salary, doesn't file a tax return because they have it tuned well enough that the money that's deducted every week adds up to enough at the end of the year that you don't get a refund and you don't have to pay anything either, and you don't have to file a return. Now, they do send you a statement of earnings so that you can double-check to make sure that everything's right. But if you've been looking at your payslips all year long, you will have known that already anyway. So it's not a big drama. The only people who have to file returns, generally speaking, are people who have certain kinds of investment income, or people who are self-employed, or who own a business, or something like that. But salary and wage earners don't, as a general rule. Now, our taxes go to a lot of different things than they do in America. Because we're a relatively small country, all of the taxation that matters, well, matters is a bit judgmental, the main taxation goes to the central government in Wellington. Because remember that in terms of population, New Zealand only has a little over 4 million people in an area the size of the state of Colorado or the nation of Italy. So it doesn't make sense to have a lot of smaller jurisdictions, provinces or anything like that. So that's where all the main taxation authority lives. And we have three main types of taxes. And that's income taxes, and there's personal and business tax. There's GST, goods and services tax, which is a bit like sales tax. And there are what we call rates, which are like property taxes. Now, there are a few more here and there, but I'm not going to go into all of them. I just want to highlight some of the differences. First, about income tax. As I said, people, as a general rule, wage and salary earners don't file tax returns every year. And that actually started a few years ago, by the way. My first few years here, I had to file a return every year. But the The income taxes that are collected are used for pretty much everything that goes on in the country. It goes for education, from primary right through tertiary. It goes for health and welfare, of course. It goes for national defense, of course, the sorts of things you'd expect. But also, we have a essentially no-fault injury system. We cannot sue for personal injury. That right was given up by New Zealanders several years ago when there was this thing set up called Accident Compensation Commission or something like that. ACC is what everybody calls it. And what that essentially means is that if you're injured, you can get yourself seen to. You don't have to worry about who was at fault. You don't have to, generally, you don't have to pay anything. It's just seen to. And it's this, one of the reasons that can be afforded is because without personal injury lawsuits, doctors and hospitals and medical providers don't have to carry huge insurance, and that would obviously drive rates up. So in the absence of having personal injury insurance and liability cases and so on to defend, there are lower costs, and that's passed on to the individual. And there are a lot of different ways that this levy is collected. For example, anybody who has a car has to have it insured, and part of their insurance goes to ACC to cover them in the event they're in a car accident to pay for their treatment. But in general, workers pay for it through a levy on their wages, which is $1.30 per $100, which sounds fairly high, but it ends up not being all that much. And when you consider that it's your health insurance, it's not quite as big as it seems. So the way that the taxes work is that there's three bands or levels or whatever. And for income up to $38,000, that's New Zealand dollars, of course, it's 19.5 cents. From $38,001 to $60,000 inclusive, that's 33 cents. And from $60,001 and over, it's 39 cents. Now, that isn't cumulative. I mean, the way it works is, as you might expect, you pay 19.5 cents on the first 38,000, and then you pay 33% on the portion between 38,000 and 60,000, and then you pay 39 cents on the portion over 60,000. Now, there are some levies here and there. At present, the fire service, for instance, gets a levy from insurance on homes and contents. There is a plan to change that to have it come out of general taxation, partly to make sure that everybody pays their fair share, because if somebody's uninsured, obviously they're not paying the levy. And it's also to give the fire service a bit more of a dependable income, and you certainly don't want an underfunded fire service. Also, we have this thing called the Earthquake Commission, which insures people for damage caused by natural disasters, flood, volcano, earthquake, oddly enough, those sorts of things. And that comes from a levy on your homeowner's insurance. And I think there's actually some comes from central government as well, but I'm not positive of that. The point, though, is that the income tax covers the bulk of everything that is done in New Zealand. Also, there is there's GST, goods and services tax, which is essentially, it's a consumption tax. The more things you buy, the more GST you're paying. There are certain things that you don't pay GST on, like, for example, bank fees or taxes. You don't pay GST on taxes. But nearly everything else, there's GST, which at present is 12.5%. One thing that is completely different in New Zealand from any state in America that I'm aware of is that the tax is included in the price. So if you go into a store and you see a bag of fresh apples, and it's, we'll just pick a number out of the air, and I'll just say it's $5. You go up to the counter and you pay for it, you pay $5. There's no tax on top of it because the tax has already been included. And that's true with absolutely everything. Whether it's food or cars, you go to a restaurant, the tax is included. You hire somebody to come in and put a dog door in your house, that GST will be included in the price. By law, all prices have GST included unless they specifically say they don't. So if you see a sign in a store window advertising a price of $10.99 for something, you can expect that you will pay $10.99 for that product without any additional taxes, unless they've put in there excludes GST. And that's true for services as well. So sometimes when people give quotes on, when businesses will give you a quote on something, say some work or what have you, they'll say the price before GST, what the GST component is, and then the total. And that usually appears on invoices as well. If you're in business and you register for GST yourself, then you can deduct the GST you pay from your taxes, which isn't as, I mean, that's no big deal really, because you have to pay GST on the things that that you sell as well. So it's all swings and roundabouts, and I personally don't think it really makes that much difference. But if you have a small business and you expect to earn less than $40,000 in a year, you're not required to register for GST at all. It's only if you're expecting to earn over $40,000 in a year that you need to be registered. Yeah, so if you just have a little thing selling handmade tea cozies and you only sell 100 a year, and you know, you're not going to have to worry about your GST. So the only remaining type of tax then is what we call rates, and they're essentially property taxes. And they're collected by local government, city or district council or what have you. And what that goes for, things like local roads, streetlights, and parks and reserves, and libraries, and things like that, the local amenities of the community. And so they vary fairly widely. And also, some of it does depend on what the local community wants, you know, how many swimming pools they want, for instance. And poorer communities arguably have poorer services than more wealthy communities, but then that's true in most places, I suppose. I mean, one thing is that people complain about taxes wherever you go. There's nobody who's happy about paying taxes. But the thing is that our tax system is pretty transparent. It's pretty simple to negotiate and pretty simple to understand. We have very few deductions from the income tax. There is some assistance available for elderly people for their rates, their property taxes. And GST is, well, that one is a bit more problematic even for me, because it's difficult for poor people to manage consumption. It's 12.5% of expenditure for a poorer person is much harder to deal with than 12.5% of expenditures for a richer person, even though obviously the richer person will be paying more in tax. It's just that a poorer person has fewer choices about where they can spend their money and what they can purchase, particularly because for poorer people, the majority of their income will go in things like food and clothing and things like that. A much bigger percentage of their income will go in those things. Although housing itself is exempt from GST, rent and mortgage payments and whatnot. Nevertheless, GST does tend to hit poorer people much more hard than it does more wealthy people. So I thought that now I would do what I normally do on a Friday, and that is to go over the comments from the last episode. Oh, that was my dog. Did you hear her shake? So I'm just going to get right into that. Kelvin said, "Congratulations, Arthur. I promise not to give you all the queer flack that I think I might want to about getting married, but I can't think of any reason why I wouldn't wish you all the happiness in the world. It's funny how, knowing your age, I do in a way want to say, hey, you're not supposed to be talking about that. But quite honestly, you don't talk about it to begin with." He's talking about sex, actually, because I talked about how I don't talk about sex to begin with. "And I don't think I would find it problematic more than I would find it a startling change from your current presentation. Not to say that I talk about sex that much. Do I? Actually, I've talked to a lot of dirty old men, and it hasn't fazed me in the least. Hell, I've even done some dirty things with them. So I suppose I may not be that inclined to judge. I agree with you that all these things are about risk evaluation. I think part of my hesitancy comes from my apparent economic instability and impecunious situation." I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. "Anyway, perhaps if I were more like the landed gentry, I would feel otherwise. Hope that your weekend goes well, as it sounds busy. It was fun to hear you go through everyone's thoughts. I don't know why Americans are so obsessed with accents either. It actually isn't that big of a deal for me. The only problem is that when I'm really drunk, I'm somehow convinced that I have a great English accent. Oh, Lord. Go have a meat pie for me. I'm off to my last final of my educational career." Thanks, Calvin. Calvin is actually much better about commenting on my podcast than I have been lately on commenting on his. But that's mostly been because as I've been adjusting this part-time job and also this weekend, it's been harder for me to keep up with things. But what I said in response was, you know, there are times when I think I'm not supposed to be talking about that. Although, that actually doesn't stop me. But anyway, so you may find that with the end of school, your own hesitancy may become less, kind of like another coming out. That actually kind of happened to me, with me. And what I meant by that is that when I moved to New Zealand and things became easier and I didn't have to, in some ways, feel like I was looking over my shoulder, it was easier to be open and to be out. Even though I had never been particularly closeted, nevertheless, I mean, everyone in America, no matter how out you are, no matter how liberal you are, there are times when, for the sake of personal safety, if nothing else, you have to be somewhat more cautious. And that's essentially what I was getting at. Anyway, I said, congratulations on finishing finals. Woohoo! I wish I could be there to help celebrate and hear your English accent. And someday I hope I will. But who knows? Condo Blogger said, first off, it's really great news about your impending marriage. Congratulations. Second, thank you for turning me on to two new podcasts, I Say, and Ramble Redhead. I listened to them both for the first time today, thanks to you. It was great to hear a little bit of your backstory on Ramble Redhead. Thanks, Condo Blogger. Yeah, I'm always pleased when somebody goes and checks out a podcast that I've mentioned, because I know that there are some people who've checked out mine because of being mentioned on another podcast, which actually kind of brings something up on Archer's Friday show. He was mentioning in passing about, you know, are podcasters egotistical, that they like hearing their names on other podcasts. And I don't think that it's egotism as such. I think it's more we want a sort of validation that that people are listening to us and that they pay attention to us, and maybe that we're striking some sort of a connection with somebody else. And when you're a podcaster, it's maybe easier to broadcast that in a more general sense, because you've got this sort of bully pulpit. You know, you can say what you think, and you can, if you like somebody else's podcast or something that they've said, there's the dog again. You can mention that. But anyway, thanks, Condo Blogger. And he's actually, by the way, if you haven't done so, you should click on his name on the comments section and go check out his blog, because it's basically about buying a condo, hence the name. And I've often thought that if things had worked out differently, that I might have been doing something exactly as he's doing with his blog. But be that as it may, Archer said, oh my gosh, congrats on getting married. That's great. I'm sure you'll invite all your podcasting friends to the wedding. Hee hee hee, just teasing. Loose ends could be nasty if you think about it, but a good way to catch up on things. I do the same thing you do. I open a text document and write down comments as I listen if I'm at work, and then post the comments when I get home. I was listening to your show on the way to and from my boyfriend's, so I couldn't write things down, but remembered better this time. I agree that the act for helping partners get into the country won't pass, but it's a nice gesture. It's a nice gesture, but we're not there yet. Of course, I love the music at the end. It's one of my favorites. And I said, of course I'll be inviting my podcasting friends. Small print. Airline tickets not included. Food, accommodation, taxes, local transport, and tour fees also not included. Seriously, maybe since we haven't set a date yet, you and the boyfriend can plan a trip at the same time, which I suppose is true for many people, but anyway. I said, also, about loose ends, point well taken. One doesn't want to hear, dude, you're leaking, does one? I remember when you played that song on your show, and it suddenly struck me how relevant that verse is for me. My home is where my heart is. It's by Erasure, in case you didn't know it, and I'll actually probably be tacking it on the end of this episode as well. Oh, and one thing, I didn't actually read my actual response to Condo Blogger. I essentially said what I said, except that I said thanks, too, for letting them know how you found them. If you do listen to somebody's podcast that I recommended, if you want to just give them a little note in their comments section saying how you found them, that would be great, because it's always good to know where new listeners are coming from. This boy Elroy said, hooray for getting married, congratulations. Perhaps this will spur the production of a photo for the site? So how absurd that you were nervous with me. I'm a big gay nerd, there's nothing to fear. Next time I can be naked if it will make you more at ease. Thanks, Adam. I will. I promise I'll get around to putting up a photo already. As I said, I don't have one, and I just haven't had a chance to get to having one taken or what have you. But I will. I promise I'll put one up. If it makes you feel more comfortable to be naked when we talk, that's entirely up to you, Adam. But it's not a requirement. And Nick in Paris said, I'm really happy to hear of your civil union with your partner. It just seems so right that you can mark your relationship just like straight couples. The buzz of hearing your name on someone else's podcast never wears off. Thanks. And, of course, I already said earlier about what Archer had said on that subject. But I feel exactly the same way, Nick. I love hearing my name on somebody else's podcast, and it makes me feel very special. So those were the comments on the last episode. I actually haven't had a chance to respond in print to Adam or to Nick because, I haven't had time yet because they were only in the past day or so. But one thing that occurred to me is that I have never read any of the comments that have gone on the Podomatic site. If you're on iTunes and you click on the web link that's automatically included with my shows, it takes you to the Podomatic site. And I just haven't really paid that much attention to it, to be honest, although I do respond to comments there as well. So this week, for the first time, I will read those. I'm not going to go back and read the older ones, but from now on, if anybody does leave a comment there, I'll share those as well. And this, again, is about the last episode, number 9. And John Q. Public said, I have to say that I stopped listening to Archer's gangbang shows that dealt with such a blatant discussion on sex. I'm older than you, and I guess it's just another indication that I'm from a different generation. Well, I'm in a in-between generation, I suppose, because I don't feel comfortable talking about it quite so blatantly myself. But it doesn't worry me when other people do. I mean, I don't mind listening to it. I just don't necessarily want to have to say anything. And I said, and he also said, have enjoyed your podcast up to and am now up to date. So, are we ever going to hear more about Nigel than his name? Will he ever be on your podcast? And I said, thanks for listening. You'll certainly be hearing more about Nigel, and I hope to have him on the podcast too. I'm still working on him. We shall see. Ramble Redhead said, Arthur, it was great having you on the show, and glad you could be on the show. And by the comments, my listeners did as well. I'm glad you look at age as a number and not to worry about it. I read a study recently that many people actually feel 21 years younger than they really are. What I find amazing is that when we are young, we want to be older. Then when we hit the teens and 20s, and then get scared once we hit the 30s, and then begin to be worried as we reach the other milestones. Wish you the best of luck and look forward to hearing more of your shows. And I said, thanks, Ramble. It was fun being on your show, and you have to be on mine at some stage, too. And I said, age is just a number to me. No big deal, really. But the important thing to me is that I feel younger than I really am. And if that continues, I'm hoping that maybe I can avoid some of the problems associated with aging. We'll see. So those are the comments that have come in over the last two episodes. And apart from that, I mean, I didn't start out like so many others do, talking about my weekend, not because I don't like doing that. It's just there really isn't that much to tell. The reason I was so busy is that we had a friend from Australia staying with us this weekend. And so that meant, obviously, I had to get the house ready for our guest and all that sort of thing. And I just didn't have time to finish up the Friday episode early. I mean, I recorded it early enough, but I didn't have time to post it and to do the show notes and all those sorts of things until later on that night. And then Nigel's mother came down yesterday. She'd been up north with a friend of hers and stopped in our house on her way home. So we had a sort of late Mother's Day dinner last night here. And she went home this morning, and then that's been it. Of course, tomorrow and Thursday I'm off to the part-time job. So I had to get a few things out of the way over the past 2 days as well. And we had to take the car in for service. Yeah, see, really exciting stuff. And that's it for this edition of the podcast. I'll be back on Friday with another one. Please leave a comment at amarins.blogspot.com or send an email to me at amarins@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you Friday. Bye.